Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Worship Well podcast. My name is Tim Oladeru. I'm also known as Dappy T Keys. Today, I am your host and I'm also your guest. So you get two in one. I'm going to be answering some questions today, you know, some worship and leadership related questions that people have sent in from our previous conferences, from, you know, looking into our DMs and comments that we get for on our videos. So I just thought, you know what, I'll take some time to answer some of these questions, and hopefully they would be able to help you. Maybe you have similar questions on your mind as well. And also, while you're watching this, or if you're watching any of our Worship Well podcast or listening on Apple Music or wherever you listen to podcasts, and there's a question on your heart regarding worship, regarding being a minister, being a worship minister, a gospel artist, and being a creative, please don't hesitate to send us those questions. We would love to actually take time to answer them. I would even love to ask some of my guests those questions as well, so we can get different perspective. This is all to help us to grow, to become better, to become better leaders, and to become better servants and better ministers of that which what God has called us to do, and just to keep on growing together and doing better for the kingdom of God, and to be able to serve better in our local churches and in different capacity that God has called us into. So to start today's episode, I thought I would answer a question that I believe a lot of people ask me a lot, you know, about Dappy T Keys. How did you get here? You know, what happened? Tell us about your journey. You know, you've got all these millions of subscribers on YouTube. People know you all over the place. How did you make it? What happened? Can you share some strategies? Can you share with us some things that you've done that, you know, that maybe we also can do to also get to where you are today? And I try my best to be as honest as possible. And one of the very first things I tell people is, I didn't do anything, you know? And I know you're probably thinking, that's not true. I mean, you wouldn't have gone to where you are today if you didn't do anything. But in all honesty, I can actually tell you that I didn't do anything. It wasn't anything that I did that got me here. And I'm going to give you some perspective. I'm not saying that God did everything, because there was a part I needed to play. There is a responsibility. There is a weight that comes with what God has called me to do. And there is my part of the bargain that I've got to keep to as well. But when I've said I didn't do anything, what I mean is really that, you know, I could have done everything right. I could have done everything right. I could have crossed all my T's and dotted all my I's and still not be who I am or where I am today. Like the scripture says that except the Lord build the house, the builders are building in vain. And except the Lord watch over the city, the watchmen are watching in vain. So you can be building, you can be doing stuff, you can actually be very hardworking, applying all the strategy, you know, taking all the right steps, making all the right moves. And if the Lord does not build it, the Bible said that you are building it in vain. So it doesn't mean that you can't build. It just means that you are building it with God, without God. And because you're doing it without Him, then it's in vain at the end of the day. Like Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes, he said, everything is vanity, everything, vanity upon vanity. So I love to always give people perspective on how to truly measure success. How to truly measure success, you know, because sometimes we could get carried away with the numbers, with our followership on Instagram and social media, with the amount of subscribers that we have, with the amount of money we have in the bank, that we can use that as a measuring tool and also as a way to justify that, you know, we're doing the right thing, which sometimes is not always true. You can actually be doing all the wrong things. You can be doing everything without God, without consulting God, without being led by the Spirit of God, and you can still get some level of success. You can still achieve some level of success in what you're doing. So that's why I tell people that I didn't do anything, because even if I had done everything and I'd done it without Him, and I'm still Dappy T Keys that people know today, it is still nothing at the end of the day. It doesn't matter. The numbers, the followership doesn't matter. What should matter is, am I in alignment with what God is asking of me and what God is asking me to do? Am I following him closely? Am I in obedience to his will? Am I following him to the point that I wouldn't do anything outside of what he's called me to do, even if it looks very, very good? You know, and I think it's more about how faithful I am with what God has asked me to do. I think that's a true measure of success, is faithfulness. You know, at the end of the day, the Bible says that when we get up there, when we stand before God to give an account for our lives, the one thing we all want to hear from God say to us is, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." It will not say, "Well done, thou good and successful servant. Well done, thou good and influential servant. Well done, thou good and popular servant." It would want to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And it goes back to the story of the, you know, the parable of the talents. When, you know, the master gave one 5 talents, he gave another one 2, and he gave another one 1. The one with the 5 did something with it. You know, it went and multiplied it. The one with the 2 also went and multiplied it, did something with it. And the guy with the 1 went and buried it. And the commendation of the master to the first 2 guys who had 5 talents and 2 talents were, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That is what we should all aspire to hear at the end of our lives. If I don't hear God saying that to me at the end of my life, it doesn't matter what I've spent my entire life building. It's all in vain. It's all worth nothing. The Bible said, "What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and he loses his soul? What is the point of it?" So I just wanted to clear that up from the beginning, that, you know what? It's more important to make sure you are doing what God is asking you to do, or what God has called you to do, or what God has given you to do, and be faithful with that, than measuring your success based on the externals, based on the numbers, based on what people are saying. The question is, what does the Lord think of you right now? And that's what I ask myself. What does the Lord think of me right now? Does the Lord say, "You know what? I'm proud of Tim. I'm proud of this guy. He's doing what I called him to do. He's actually being faithful with what I've given him to do." Or am I just enjoying the success and looking for people's encouragement, people praising me at the expense of living a life devoted to obedience to God? So that is why I said I didn't do anything. Now let's go to the other part of this. You know, God gets all the glory out of my life. Everything I am today is by the grace of God. And let me just even say this. I never dreamt of being here today. I never dreamt of the ministry God has given to me. It was never a prayer point. You know, I wasn't seeking the Lord. Say, "God, I want to be able to play the piano in such a way that I will become this, and then I will have this amount of followership. I will have this amount of influence. I will be this on YouTube." I was never desiring of that. I was never. It wasn't a prayer point. It wasn't something that I was actually seeking. I was actively seeking and pursuing with my life. It wasn't that. I think the one thing I did was I prayed and said, "God, if you can use the little that you've given me, take it and use it." That's all I said to God. I remember I even said to God, "I don't think I have much to give," because at that point in my life, I was looking at other people that have so much, you know. I'm like, they were better musicians. They were more gifted than I am. They could do stuff I cannot even dream of doing. I mean, I'm like, "God, these people are more, they have more, you know, they were more talented, more skilled." So in that point, I was even comparing myself with others. But then I came to the conclusion, I said, "God, what I have is not enough. It's little compared to everybody around me. But if you can take this little and use it and do something with it, then take it and use it." And that was a prayer I offered unto God many, many years ago. And what you see today is as a result of God taking that little and using it for his glory. And that also goes back to why I said I didn't do anything, because all I had was little. I mean, it's like that little boy with 2 fishes and 5 loaves. That was all he had. And Jesus asked him to give it to him. Then the boy surrendered the 2 fishes and the 5 loaves. And the Bible said Jesus took it, he gave thanks, and then he broke it. And he was able to feed 5,000 people, which were just men, women, and children all included. So I think clearing that up, that this was not a prayer point. And let me just say, you know, and I want to say this to encourage you out there. What you should desire most is knowing the will of God for your life, knowing what God has called you to do. And once you know what that looks like, the next thing is be committed to obeying God, to being faithful with what he has called you to do. Be committed and say, you know, whatever you hear God say, you will do. If God says, don't do this, don't do it. Be committed to that. And the rest is all God's responsibility. You know, a man of God said, trust God, obey God. Rather, he said, obey God and leave all the consequences to him. So your part is to obey God. Whatever comes out of that, that is his responsibility. That's what I meant by I wasn't seeking this. I wasn't praying for this. It wasn't a prayer point. My part is to make sure I'm in obedience. I'm walking in obedience daily. And it's not just a one-time thing. It's a daily walk in obedience, being faithful in what God has called me to do, and let him worry about the consequences, about the outcome of that. If God wanted me to be global and wanted me to be popular and wanted me to have influence, that is up to him. But that's not what I'm seeking. What I'm seeking is to know his will, to know his mind, to know his heart, to know what he wants me to do, and committing myself to being obedient to that. And really, that is my story. That's how I got here. I remember in 2015, I was at that place where I began to ask the Lord for direction. I'd gone through a very, very, very not so good seasons of life. And I was at that place where, you know, I'm like, God, you need to show me exactly what you've called me to do. You need to open my eyes. I need to hear your voice. I need to know what is it that you've called me to do. And during that time of seeking the Lord, God was gracious enough to talk to me. And he gave me specific instructions about how he wanted me to play the piano, how he wanted me to use my gift. And they were very simple. He said, keep your music simple. Two things. He actually told me, he said, keep it simple and play from a pure heart. So I knew from that day on, those were the two commandments for me, is simplicity and purity of heart. And those are the two things that I worry myself about, is, am I simple? Is my music, is my worship, is my style of playing, is it simple enough? And number two is it coming from a pure heart? Those are the two things God asked me to do. And I said to God, by his grace, that I'm going to keep to those two commandments. So my part in this was to obey God in those two commandments. Make sure my heart is pure. Make sure I prioritize the state of my heart over my gift, over my skill. Make sure I prioritize my relationship with him over anything else. Make sure I'm in right standing with him. Make sure that is a priority to me, not my gift, not my skills, not how good can I play, not how good can I sound. It's how pure am I? How am I in alignment with the heart of God? It's how submitted, how surrendered, how obedient I am. So the state of my heart was much more important than everything else. Because out of my heart flows everything. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence. So out of it was flowing things. And God was like, he was more particular about my heart than the music that would come from it. He said, you know what? Keep your heart pure. Play from a pure heart. Make sure you live a pure life, a holy life. Make sure you live a consecrated life, a life devoted to me, a life abstaining from sin, a life that is pleasing in my sight. And then from that life, from that heart, then the sound will begin to flow. And that is exactly what happened. And so when I pray, all I ask is, God, help me to keep these two commandments. Help me to keep my heart pure. And help me to not worship with complications. Help me to simplify my worship, that it would encourage other people to worship you. It is simple enough that I can invite other people into it to worship him. When I worship on the piano, I'm not drawing attention to myself. My goal is to lead others to worship him who is worthy. And that is what I believe God was asking of me. And that's what I began to do. And guess what? When I began to do that, the rest, as they say, is history. God began to draw people from all over the world. So what you see today on my YouTube channel and every other platform is as a result of obedience to what I believe God has called me to do. And the result is responsibility. Everything that you see happening is all God doing that. I never really delved into marketing or advertising and the rest of it. No, it's all God making sure that the sound that is releasing through me reaches the entire world. And by the grace of God, that's where we are today. So I said all that to say, you know what, going back to what I said earlier, I didn't do anything. And number two is, even if I did anything, is really finding out what I believe God wants me to do and what my part in this was, and asking Him for the grace to do my part. And once those two things were in alignment, then the results, it guarantees, then the results, it makes sure that the result, it is what it is today. So I can't take credit for it. It gets all the glory, all the time, and it gets all the praise. But there are some key, there's some things I would encourage you to do that would give us maybe some caution and some things that I think you can do to help you on your journey. So maybe you are in that place where you're not sure of what to do, or you're looking for direction and you are trusting the Lord. You know what? What should I do? How should I go about this? Which way should I go? There are some things that I can share with you that I believe is going to help you on your journey. And this is what I wanted to say. First, and I've said it already, be sure of what God is asking you to do. Be very sure of that. Know exactly what God is asking you to do. That would require that you spend some time in prayer, spend some time, you know, seeking the face of the Lord for that. Nobody can tell you that. Nobody knows that. You can't ask AI. You can't ask Google. You can't ask anybody. Because only God knows you, and He knows why He made you the way He made you. So number one, be sure of what God has called you to do. So number one, be sure of what God has called you to do. Number two that I would advise you to do is not just be sure of what God has called you to do, but also be sure of how He has called you to do it. You know, a lot of us sometimes, we know what God has called us to do, but we don't wait long enough to ask Him, how do you want this done? And most of the time, what we do is we know what God wants us to do, and then we start asking other people how we should do it. We'll start asking, even maybe you're asking your mentor, your pastor, your leader, how do you think I should do it? And the thing about it is that these people, out of good intentions, will give you many suggestions, many ideas. They go, oh, why don't you try this? Why don't you try that? And there's nothing wrong. Like I said, there's nothing evil in what they're saying. They're telling you all that out of good intentions. But when it comes to following God, good intentions are not enough. They're not. So really, you have to know exactly what He's asking you to do and how He's asking you to do it. That needs to come directly from God. You know, about 3 years ago, I think, when I wanted to start Worship Well, I knew God wanted me to start this movement. I knew God wanted me to begin to do this that I'm doing right now, but I wasn't sure of how to do it. So I decided to meet with one of my mentors, and I scheduled a meeting with him. And I told him, I believe this is what God wants me to do, but I'm now asking you, how do you think I should do it? You know, imagine that. I said God told me to do something. Then I went to a man that I respect so much, is a mentor to me, and ask him, how do you think I should do it? And I'm so glad for his response, because his response sent me back to God. What he said was, Tim, you said God has asked you to do this, and you are coming to me to ask me how you should do it? He said, I don't know. He said, the best person to tell you how to do this is the same person that told you what to do. So he said, why don't you go back to God, spend more time in prayer, wait on God, and let Him give you clarity on what and how. But guess what? That's what we don't want to do. We don't want to spend the time to wait on God, to really hear the voice of God, to really see the heart of God. We want it so quick. We want it to be just, you know, I don't have time. This has got to go quick. And sometimes with God, you have to wait, and wait long enough. And you have to determine in your heart that I am not going to move until he speaks to me. I am not going to take a step until I get clarity on what he's asking me to do. And I'm not going to go and ask people and let them tell me what I need to do or how I need to do it. I'm going to wait long enough. We should be like Moses that told God, when God said, you know what, I can't go with you into the promised land, but I'm going to send my angels. I'm going to, you know, no, my angels are going to go before you, but I cannot personally go with you because I know the children of Israel, they were very disobedient. They were very hard in their heart, and God wasn't pleased with them. God said, you know what, I can't go with you, but I'm going to send my angels to go with you. But Moses told God, he insisted. He said, God, if your presence does not go with us, then leave us here. And that's what we should be like. A people that say, if God is not going on this journey with me, I'm not going. If I'm not sure God is part of this thing, I'm not doing it. That should be the litmus test. It should be the thing that tells us, you know what, I'm going to do this or not. And Moses said, you know what, God, I don't care about the promised land. I don't care about the blessings. All I care about is your presence. What good is a blessing? What good is the promised land without the one who gave the promise, without the presence of the one who gave us the promise? So that was what that season did for me. And I'm so glad my mentor at that time sent me back to God. So it made me go back to God and began to seek the face of God and gain clarity on what he wants me to do. So don't just know what he wants you to do, but also find out from him how he wants you to do it. Number three is, once you know what and you know how, now you begin to take few, you know, baby steps, some gradual steps in obedience to what God has told you. You begin to take steps. You begin to walk in obedience. You begin to make sure you are sticking with what you heard. And now, one thing I want you to watch out for is, be careful not to allow good people with good intentions to broaden the scope of your calling, to broaden the scope of the assignment. Because once you begin to take steps, once you begin to do stuff, people will start coming to you, you know, suggestions will start coming up, ideas. Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? But you want to be careful not to allow their good intentions, their good ideas, to begin to distract you and begin to take you in a different direction beyond the scope of that which God has called you to do. You know, one of the biggest enemy you will fight on this journey is distraction. On the journey of obedience to God, one of the devils you will fight, one of the enemies you will fight, one of the biggest threat is distraction. You know, you'll be distracted by good things that are not necessarily God things. Good things that are not necessarily God things. Good ideas, good vision, good suggestion, but are they from God? You know, so you got to be careful. Now that you are taking steps and you're walking in the direction of purpose, you are staying focused on what God has called you to do, you want to be mindful that you don't allow people with good intentions. It could be your family members. It could be your closest friend. It could be people you trusted so well. Don't allow them to broaden the scope. You know, when this happened to Jesus. Let me give you an example. Jesus was with his disciples, and he was telling his disciples what his purpose was. It was like, you know what? One day, guys, I'm going to leave you all. I'm going to die, you know, and then I'm going to be crucified. Then I'm going to go to the cross. Then I'm going to go through all these things. And as soon as he was saying that, Peter stopped him. Peter was saying, Jesus, no, that is so far from you. God forbid that happens to you. No, you will not go to the cross. You will not do this. You will not go through that. That cannot happen to you. Peter had a good intention. He was trying to just, you know, he loved his master. It was like, no, you're not going to die. You're going to be here with us. How are you going to leave us and then you're going to die and then you're going to go to the cross and you're going to be crucified? Why do you have to go through all that? And Jesus recognized that, you know what, this was not Peter. This was a man with a good intention, but was trying to derail him for why he was here. He came here to seek and to save the lost, to die. That was the purpose of Jesus coming to the earth. That was the ultimate, his death. It was the ultimate, to die on the cross, to become a curse, and by that, to save many. But Peter, out of good intention, was trying to tell Jesus, don't do it. But Jesus recognized that. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. In that moment, Jesus recognized that even though this is good, this is not God. Even though this advice seems good, it seems like, oh, I've got a buddy in Peter. I've got a friend that cares so much about me, but it is not God. So be careful not to allow people with good intentions to derail you. You know, on this journey, even on my in my ministry as, you know, creating piano music, I've had so many good suggestions, good idea, good partnership, good collaborations that are not necessarily God. And I can confess to you that I've made one or two mistakes along my journey when I've partnered with the wrong people, when I've collaborated with the wrong person because it sounded good, it felt good. I failed to ask if this was truly God or not. But God was gracious in his mercy. I repented. I made a U-turn, but I learned a very, very hard lesson. People with good intention can broaden the scope of what God is asking you to do. So no matter who is saying it, no matter who is advising it, check with God first. Make sure God approves of what you're trying to do. So that's one thing I want you to bear in mind. And you aim to stay within the boundaries of what God has called you to do. Don't let somebody take you out of that boundary. And the next thing I wanted to share with you is, you know, once God begins to bless what you're doing, you know, once God begins to reward your obedience, you know, maybe now you start making money, you start having influence, your followers, you're having a bigger followership and you're having a bigger pool of subscribers, and God begins to bless you. You know, when people start blessing you because you are being a blessing to them. Now, what I want you to do is make sure that you don't allow the blessings to take you away from God. What I mean by that is the fact that you have the resources to do it, the fact that you have been blessed to do it, doesn't mean you should do it if God is not asking you to do it. You know, you could get to a place in your walk when you think, I don't need to talk to God anymore. I can just do this on my own. I don't need to check in with God. I don't need to ask God. Why should I ask God? I can just get this done. Because now you have the resources. You have money. And you have relationships. You can just pick up your phone. Hey, can you get this done for me? And you begin now to rely more on the blessing than the blesser. You stop seeking the face of God before you make that decision. You stop asking God, what do you think about it before you embark on that journey? Because now you are blessed. Now you think you can do it without God. And sometimes that's one of the pitfalls that we fall into. We start praying less. You start going to church less. All the things you used to do to get you to where you are, that was very important to you, now all of a sudden they're no longer important. Oh, you don't think prayer is important. Oh, man, I don't need to pray long anymore. You know, I can just say a few words of prayer. Oh, I don't need to read my Bible anymore. Oh, no, I don't have time for church. I'm too busy. Can't you see? I'm very busy with all these things I'm doing. Well, slowly, you are making the resource your source. So be careful. That's going to happen. I've been faced with that temptation. I feel like God has blessed me. I have money. I can buy whatever I want. I can do whatever I want. Why do I need to pray? Why do I need to ask God how to spend my money? You know, even to think of that, you know what? I don't need to ask God how to spend my money. Who told you it's your money? All that you have, God gave it to you. All that you have, God gave it to you. You are just a steward, and you're meant to be a good steward of that which God has blessed you with. So it's not yours at the end of the day. It's not yours. It belongs to God. Because without God, you wouldn't have any of those things. As a matter of fact, the breath in your lungs, God gave it to you. Only the living can spend money or can do things. If you don't have that breath anymore, what use is having millions of dollars in your account? So you have to understand that nothing is yours. Everything belongs to God. Even the breath in my lungs. So my responsibility is whatever God has given me, I steward it well. I use it well for his glory and to be a blessing to his people. So don't despise asking God. Don't despise checking in with God. Because if you do that, you are most likely to miss it along the way. Saturate every good idea in prayer. You know, when I want to make some decisions, and one thing I'm still learning too, it's not like I've gotten a hang of this. I'm still learning this, is to anytime I want to make any decision, to cover that decision in prayer. Whether that's what I mean by saturating that idea, that decision, that goal, that vision in prayer. In prayer, making sure that this is God. And if this is God, this is how God wants me to do it. Saturating it in prayer. Covering that entire process in prayer. The same way you prayed to get the direction to get to where you are, is the same way you need prayer to keep moving in the direction that God wants you to go. One thing that derails people is, like I said, common sense. Now every decision is common sense. Oh yeah, it's just common sense, man. It's just business sense. It's just marketing sense. It's just advertising sense. Now everything is all about senses. No longer about being led by the Spirit of God. That's why you must saturate the entire process in prayer. The Bible said that there is a way that seems right to a man, but at the end of it is destruction. It's the book of Proverbs. There is a way that seems right to a man, but at the end, it is destruction. So it may look good. Everything may feel good. All the T's are crossed. All the I's are dotted. Everything is lining up. Everything looks good. But the Bible said at the end of it could be destruction. Others may be doing it, but you don't have to do it. It doesn't mean you have to do it. You know, and that's one thing I'm learning on my journey as well, that others may actually be doing it. And some things are not necessarily evil. One thing I'm also learning with God is when it comes to walking with God, it's not about good and bad, you know. Oh, these are the bad stuff. I don't do the bad stuff. These are the good stuff. I do the good stuff. No, it's about what is the perfect will of God. It's not just about good and bad. It's about you can be doing good stuff and still be walking in disobedience. You can be doing good stuff and still be out of alignment with God. It's about, is this what God wants for me to do? Is this the will of God for me in this season? Not just good and bad. So others may be doing stuff, but maybe it's not for you. Like Paul wrote in the book of Corinthians, he said, all things may be lawful, but not all things edify. All things may be lawful. You may actually be okay to do all things, but for me, not all things edify. Your protection, your provision, longevity, everything is connected to your faithfulness to your assignment. And staying within its boundary. Everything that people are looking for, if only they can just find what God is asking them to do and commit to that in obedience and staying faithful, everything will find you there. Will find you there. And let me just wrap up this by saying, make God your source, not a man. Make God your source, not a thing, not a man. Make God your source. At every point in your life, let your source be God. And when you start realizing that your source is shifting to things, quickly repent and say, God, you are my source. You know, along my journey on YouTube, I got to a place where I was making money and I was getting to a place of being very cocky, very overconfident. I've mastered how YouTube works. You know, I've mastered it. I know the kind of videos to put out that would get views and that would make a lot of money. I've mastered how to do YouTube. And slowly, I began to make YouTube, began to make every other thing my source but God. Because before, I would spend time in prayer. I would spend time asking God, what do you want me to put out? What kind of video should I put out? What kind of, what kind of music? What kind of song should I play? But I got to a point in my journey, because of success, I stopped talking to God. I stopped asking him for what he thinks. I stopped asking the Holy Spirit what he thinks I should put out, because I've mastered it. YouTube all of a sudden now became my source. But you know what happened? There was a time YouTube actually caught me doing that. YouTube now demonetized my channel. I couldn't make money. I got an email from YouTube saying, you know what? Your channel has been demonetized because you didn't follow the rules. You broke the rules. I'm like, what did I do? I'm posting God stuff. I was really upset. I was really angry. It cut really deep. Now my source is now becoming less unreliable. Now YouTube said I can't make money anymore. And I've got all these YouTube videos that are ranking in views with no money. I was so angry. And in the moment of my anger, God spoke to me. God said, it's not YouTube, it's me. God said, I'm the one behind this, not YouTube. I'm like, what do you mean? How could you do this? God said, you can see how you feel when I cut it off. It's because you made YouTube your source. You began to rely on your wisdom, on your knowledge, on your understanding, and you no longer bother to ask me what to do with your gift. You are getting distracted by success. And God, out of his mercy, gently rebuked me. I repented of that. So I'm sharing this because along your journey, you get to a point where you've built systems, you have resources, you have money, and you don't think you need to consult God anymore. And you are just doing your own thing. Well, if that is you right now, I want you to repent of that. Ask the Lord for mercy. Don't wait till things go really bad. No, right now you can repent and begin to turn back to the Lord once again. You know, I love the story of David when he wanted to go fight and the Philistines. And they came to fight. And David went to God and said, God, should I go fight them? God said, go. The same people came back later to fight. But guess what? David did not just assume. David still went back to God to ask, should I go fight? And this time around, God said to David, don't go. You know, sometimes we can build formula out of the instructions God has given us. We can build formula out of our success that we think it would always be this way. I can always do it this way. And I will always succeed if I do it this way. But sometimes God may just want to do it a different way. But you will not know that unless you ask him. Unless you check in with him. Unless you talk to him. If David had gone the second time around and had not checked with God, he would have lost that battle. And maybe you are losing right now because you've assumed. And that's what the Bible talks about in the book of Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. It said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. We're meant to trust him with all our hearts, with all of our being, and not lean on our own understanding. In all our ways, we're meant to acknowledge him, and so he can direct our path. So I want to encourage you, don't lean on your understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Last thing I'm going to say is, you know, don't think that success is an endorsement of your behavior. Don't think success is an approver of yourself. What do I mean by that? Sometimes you can be succeeding on something that God does not approve of. And I've said that already. Because sometimes we can think it's just because of the outward success. And God must be pleased with me. No, it doesn't always mean that way. A good example is Moses. The Lord told Moses to speak to the rock and water would come out for children of Israel. But guess what? Moses decided to go and strike the rock. But guess what? Water still came out. In the eyes of people, Moses was a success because water came out. The people asked for water and water came out. But when it comes with God, every detail of the instruction matters. The end doesn't always justify the means. I know sometimes we quote that, we make that quote, or the end justify the means. When it comes to God, the process, the means is as important as the end itself. How you got it, how you arrive at that place is also important to God as the thing itself. So Moses, even though in the eyes of people, water came out, but between Moses and God, it was an act of disobedience and it was dishonor. God said, you did not honor me in the sight of these people. And because of that, he paid a heavy price for that. He could not enter the promised land because he dishonored and disobeyed God's instruction. So, prioritize obedience over success. Prioritize faithfulness over outward success. Prioritize that. Because that is more important than what people say. The praises of men. People can congratulate you, applaud you, celebrate you. But guess what? They can do all that and you can still be in absolute obedience disobedience to what God has asked of you. I really hope sharing this journey with you has been helpful. I really just wanted to answer that question of how I got here. But it's not just a five-step question. It's a question of obedience, question of alignment, it's a question of knowing exactly what God has called you to do and staying committed to that. And then watch God blow your mind. Watch God do whatever he wants to do. If God decides to make you global, he will do that. You don't need to make that your headache. You don't need to worry about that. If God wants you to be global, that's on him. And if God wants you not to be global, that's on him. But your satisfaction does not come from being global or not. It comes from being obedient and faithful follower of Jesus Christ. That should be what gives you joy, not because all these external things. And I hope that just encourages you. And if you have any questions about what I've shared, you know, drop them in the comments below or send me a DM. I would love to dive into them. So until then, until next time that I come your way, find out what God wants you to do and commit yourself to walk in obedience and stay faithful on the journey ahead. Thank you for listening and thank you for watching this episode. If it has blessed you, make sure you share, you like it, and you also subscribe to our YouTube channel. And until next time, God bless you. Keep growing, keep serving the Lord, and stay blessed. Bye-bye.